Our scripture text for this morning's message is found in Malachi chapter 4. I invite you to grab your Bibles and turn to Malachi 4 and stand with me as I read from God's holy word. If you're having trouble finding Malachi, which these minor prophets are sometimes tricky to identify, this is the very last one in the Old Testament, so right before the book of Matthew, the very last verses of the Old Testament. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. This is God's word. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Let us pray. Lord, your word is holy and true. May we hear this word and be warned and also encouraged, Lord. May we cling to your promises and heed this warning, Lord, for us and for our family. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last year, as I was out in California, living on the Central Coast, I got to be a lot more familiar with the California wildfires. And thankfully, our family was not very close to any of the ones that were ravaging the hillsides and different parts of California, but we were affected by the smoke. And I remember going up to San Francisco to pick up my parents from the airport, and we were still, I don't know, a good number of miles away from the fires that were north of San Francisco, and yet the air quality was so bad that it was just hazy everywhere, and it was actually dangerous to be out and about anywhere there. And we were not supposed to let children or people who had any kind of breathing troubles or elderly people to even be outside at that point. And we weren't even that close to the fires. I also got to see, as we drove along, people putting out small fires. Thankfully, they got them under control. But others that hadn't been put under control and the effect that they had on the countryside. And to see that this fire was so strong that it would leap over four or six lanes of traffic and scorch the trees and like melt them down. And how it had just scorched all the hills and mountains as far as you could see. And to see that this fire in some places had come over these mountaintops right up to where people's houses were, and had almost taken down an entire city. And this was just what I got to see. But this year, and this, they have some terrible ones that wreak a lot of havoc, but this year, there were some especially terrible ones. One that took down the entire city of Paradise, California. And from what I've seen in the news and heard from about this, it was a terrifying experience. The most deadly one in history, from what I understand. And this fire came ripping through this city with such speed and such heat that they couldn't take care of it. The firefighters and first responders, they couldn't even fight the fire for quite a while because all they could do was try to evacuate people. And people were stuck. They couldn't get away. And a number of people, they weren't able to drive anywhere. The roads were clogged with everyone trying to flee, and some got out and tried to run for it, and many were overcome. And they couldn't get away. This heat was so intense. Walls of fire racing in, being pushed fast by this high wind coming off of the ocean. And the landscape just kindling. And I think I read that that these fires can sometimes burn up to 14 and a half miles per hour or 15 miles per hour. And can you imagine walls of fire all around you? And if you watch videos of this, you can see that with all the hills and mountaintops and forests on fire, you look around and it looks like there's nowhere to go, and everyone and everything that you can imagine being overcome. And it wiped this town out completely. In our text here today, we have a warning of a coming fire. If you'll look at the text here with me, there's three main sections of Malachi chapter 4. There's the first three verses, and verse 1 is about this day of fire. That is a destructive fire. The second and third verses are about a warming or healing heat that comes with the sun. And then the verses 4 through 6 are the closing verses of the entire Old Testament and a call to remember. And so my outline for this morning is the sun will rise first with destructive fire, second with healing warmth, and thirdly, so warn your family. Let's take a look at this. Verse 1, the sun will rise with destructive fire. It says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And you can imagine how this wildfire in California or these ones that I was describing are like an oven, burning it with great intensity and heat. We also think about the sun, and the sun is very hot, isn't it? In fact, here on Earth, and we live in a pretty optimal place. In fact, it is the optimal place where if we were any closer to the sun, we would burn up. If we were any further away, we would freeze. And God has placed us in this perfect spot here on Earth, the right distance away from the sun, and He's even given our Earth a shield, a protection around it that keeps the harmful rays of the sun from harming us too much. But even so, we can recognize that we need to wear sunscreen when we go out, don't we? You can get blisters. You can get burns from being in the sun. In fact, it can also cause cancer. And it can be very harmful for us. We also need to be the right distance away from it, right? Even here on Earth, you get closer to the equator, it's really hot, and you get further away, it's really cold. And the proper distance away from the sun can provide protection for us. We think about how in this passage, it talks about that this is burning like an oven, or if we think of the sun and other hot things, we need something that protects us. The sunscreen protects us. This oven mitt and grill mitt protects our hands. To be far enough away from it, have you ever gotten so close to a fire that it burns your eyebrows off or takes the hair off the back of your hands? Or God forbid, even burns your skin? But to be protected and covered or the right distance away from it is very important. But our text describes that there is a day that is coming, burning like an oven, and it's getting closer to you. And the picture is one of you being exposed with nowhere to hide, nothing protecting you. We think of the sun and how hot that is. Imagine when the God who created this, the Son of God, S-O-N, the sun comes. The one who created that sun, which is actually a puny little star. He created all the other stars and all of their heat as well. When he comes in his full fury and wrath, in judgment upon all evildoers and all the arrogant, imagine how much that will burn. There will be nowhere to hide. It says that on that day that all of the arrogant and the evildoers will be stubble. You see, they're like dead trees or branches. Scripture talks about in many places this analogy of trees. And we even looked at that last week with the stump and the righteous branch that was promised. But how that stump and dead branches, dead trees, all they're good for is for the fire. And people who are evildoers, the arrogant, are described as dead trees. Good to be cut down and tossed into that fire. And evildoers are those who have produced corrupt fruit, like apples full of worms or diseases. Good to only be cut down and thrown into the fire. And it says that this fire will leave them as stubble. And listen to this, it goes even farther, that they will be left with neither root nor branch. This fire is so hot, so intense, so destructive, that it will wipe out even down through the roots. That there is no hope after that for these who have been burned up. For regrowth. It's the final judgment of God as he wipes out all of his enemies, all evildoers, all of the wicked. But there's another message here in verses 2 and 3. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And notice that it says S-U-N. But I think we can interchange here, S-O-N, as we think of this, as Scripture tells us that the one who will judge on the last day is none other than the Son of God, Jesus himself. But the sun will rise with healing in its wings. Notice that this day is for you who fear my name. You see, this day is going to be a very different experience for the two kinds of people that are on earth. There's those who are classified as the arrogant and the evildoers. And that's anybody who lives in wickedness and in the arrogance, thinking that they are fine on their own, trusting in their own righteousness, which is actually unrighteousness. But so arrogant, they think that they will be fine before the holy and righteous God of the universe. But there's a different kind of people, those who fear the name of the Lord. A reverent fear, but one that recognizes too his power and his might. And recognizes that before a holy God like this, sinners like all of us can't stand. If we stand in our own righteousness, we will surely be burned up. But when you've been humbled that way, when you realize the truth and you recognize who God is, when you fear his name, it says that this day will be very different for you. When you cry out to him or when you trust in who he is and in his mercy, it says that the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And so the wings of the sun, it's this picture of the rays of the sun being like wings of protection. Isn't that amazing? The protection that we need, like you need an oven mitt when you go into the oven and grab out something hot, or a grill mitt, or some other protection to keep you safe. The healing wings of Jesus. Jesus talks about how he wishes that he could take the people of Jerusalem under his wings like a mother hen and protect them. This is Jesus, our protector, who keeps us from the burning rays of the sun, from the, the wrath of God and his holy righteousness. Jesus protects you. Scripture talks about Jesus being like a cloak that we can wear, where we are covered in his righteousness. But I think we can also think of that as a protection too, that we can go into the holy presence of the righteous God and live because of Jesus, being clothed in Jesus. And when we're under his protection, this powerful, fearful Son of God in all of his heat is actually a blessing to us. It's healing for us. I don't know if any of you struggle with your joints when it gets really cold, but isn't that amazing when the warmth of a heater or the sun comes out and your joints can warm up and loosen up? Or if you've ever been camping in the winter or on a cold night, gone out in the desert in the middle of the night, and you realize how much things change when the sun is up or down. It can go from blistering heat in the day to freezing cold at night, just with the sun rising and setting. But this sun rising for those who fear the Lord will come and warm you and bring you hope and healing. When you're cold at night, when it's dark, and that sun just starts to show itself by lighting up the horizon just a little bit, doesn't that give you hope? And when that sun starts to peek over the horizon, you think, I can make it. Because it's coldest and darkest before sunrise, isn't it? And I think we can think of that as an analogy of life too, that we are living in a place of darkness, coldness here on earth. But the light is coming. The sun will rise with healing in its wings. A man named O. Hallisby wrote a book on prayer. And he talks about that prayer is nothing other than just like a sick person lying out in the sun and being healed by the sun. And how God can bring healing through that. And God wants this for you. Notice that he is giving this warning for you that you would not be burned up and consumed on this day, but instead that you would be healed. This is a beautiful picture next. It talks about that you, and this is again talking about you who fear the name of the Lord, you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Have you ever seen that? Calves come in, and you probably, many of you are way more aware of this than I am. You maybe see this every springtime when those calves go leaping out and the kind of chaotic joy that they have at being free, being able to go play in the warmth and sunshine out of the pen. It's a picture of what it will be like for believers on that last day of the Lord, when we will finally be freed from coldness, from being stuck up in the pen or shut up inside, but we will get to go out and play in the sunshine and leap like calves in this kind of wild joy. I think that's just a beautiful thing. And you know, this book, I mentioned that it's the very last verses of the Old Testament. And it's this the last warning that God gives and promises too. And after this time period of Malachi, there was in history 400 years of silence. God spoke and gave these very words, and then he didn't say anything else for 400 years. And the people were just waiting. The anticipation was growing, and a lot of people, I think, were panicking. And actually, it's a lot like how it is now. And in this 1,000 years on earth that we have to wait for Jesus to come again. And you know, even in the New Testament days, they were saying that they were in the last days and that Jesus was coming very soon, and he could come at any moment, but now we've been waiting for a couple 1,000 years, approximately, and and we're still waiting. And during this time, you kind of wonder, is God actually going to keep his word? What's going on? Are we just going to stay here in the dark and the cold in this troubled, broken world forever? But we can take heart because God promises that he will come again. In fact, he did. He did come a first time, and he showed that he keeps his promises. We're going to hear about Elijah in just a moment. But before we get there, let's not pass this last promise here for those who fear the name of the Lord. It says, "You shall tread down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet." You know, that may sound kind of morbid, but it's actually a great message of hope for all of you who are troubled by wicked people in this world. All of the oppressed, you will still be alive on the last day. And it's all the people who would oppress you and hurt you who have been wiped out by the Lord. The Lord has ultimate victory, and you will continue to walk. The Lord will protect you even to the end, and in the end you will stand with him in his victory. These last verses then, and my last point, I said, warn your family. But look with me, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel." God's calling us to remember his word. They had to remember these words for 400 years. We've had to remember all of the words of the Old and New Testament for a couple thousand years. And God's telling us to remember. Remember the warnings. Remember the promises. It says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses." That word law, we sometimes get a really narrow view of what that might mean. But the word is actually Torah. And it actually refers, the Jews refer to that as the first five books of the Old Testament. And that's their greatest piece of literature. That's what they knew intimately and held on to. And in the Torah is the law, the Ten Commandments of Moses, but it also contains the promises of God and the stories of his salvation. And we are called to remember God's law and gospel, his warnings and his promises. And Torah literally means teaching. Remember the teaching. And it talks then about families, that God is going to reunite fathers, the hearts of fathers and their children together. That's a picture of a family reunited. And in the family, and in the Torah, the family is told to teach one another, to remember these things, to pass it on to the next generation. And we are called to do this too. The greatest that parents could, greatest mistake that parents could make is not giving their children a lack of food or clothing, but a lack of teaching God's holy word. Because only in the words of the Bible, in God's law, is there hope of eternal life, of escaping this fire and instead being healed and blessed by the Lord God. Remember the Torah. Share it with your families. Don't neglect this. You could pay for the greatest secular education possible for your children. You could set them up for the best career. You could do any number of things. You could give them all the greatest things in this world, the greatest wealth that this world has to offer. But if you neglect to teach them the word of God, these warnings about God's judgment and the promises of healing and help in Jesus, you are dooming your children to an eternity of destruction and wrath. But if you do remember the word of God and share this with your children, they will be saved by its promises. God helps people through his word of God. He saves through his word. And God warned us in this passage and in many others, sound the alarm of the fire. You know, one of the things that's so destructive, why people died in the fires in California, is because they didn't have warning to leave before it got there. Imagine What great news that would have been that if they had had advance warning that they could get out of the way of the fire. Their lives would have been spared. And God is warning us here. The whole reason for this really hard, scary word from God is to warn us because he loves us and he doesn't want us to be consumed. He wants us instead to be healed, to be set free, and to live with him forever. He wants to turn our hearts. Turn our hearts to him. It says in verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." Not only did he warn you way back in this writing and even before, but he's going to be merciful again and send Elijah to warn you once again. But that already happened in John the Baptist coming, preparing the way of Jesus. Remember the message of John the Baptist? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God is giving you every chance to come to him, but do not wait. Do not turn him away, because we don't know when it will have been our last warning. Some of the people who got trapped in the fires last year when I was out there in California, they didn't heed the warnings, or they tried to go back for a pet or some piece of memorabilia, and then they got trapped and the fire surrounded them. When you hear the warning, run and tell your family, tell your friends. Go to safety. The safe place has been provided for you. And I want you to hear this great message too, that this one that John the Baptist, Elijah, told you about and said that was coming, the Messiah Jesus, he went and hung himself by willingly going to the cross. He hung himself on a dry piece of kindling, a dead tree. And he endured the fiery wrath of God his Father, holding your sins upon his shoulders. And he took the fire of God for you, to provide you the protection that you need, that you would be safe, protected by him from God, and that you would be healed from this problem of sin that you have and set free for eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this warning, and it is a scary thought to think of this oven, this fire coming. But thank you for not beating around the bush or softening the blow of what that day will really be like, but for giving us a warning that we might hear about this and flee for refuge and safety to you. That we would not think that we're fine or value things of this world more than your word and find ourselves surrounded by this fire and lost forever. Lord, may we heed your warning. May we also, though, live in excited anticipation for the day that you will come for all of us who trust in you and in your name, that we might see the glow of warmth coming up over the horizon and look for that sun to peek up, bringing healing in its rays, in its wings. Lord, may we look forward to that day with great anticipation and excitement and experience the joy of going out like calves leaping from the stalls as we're set free from all of this, Lord, into the beautiful sunshine of your presence. May we also value our family and those who are around us, that we would spread the warning that fire is coming, that they might also be saved and brought to safety. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.